we have a chance to talk about loving higher off of Easter and off of this resurrection story that our God not only paid our price plus tip, but he rose from the dead. And we've got that power that lives inside of us. And so today we're going to talk about being truly blessed. For some of you, you hear that word blessed and you think a lot of different things. Like we take an offering every Sunday. We talk about that and people are like, well, I'm blessed, so I'm going to bless. And that's cool. But blessed means that it would go well with you, right? Blessed means that in the Greek, makarios means happy. But it's so much deeper than a feeling, right? And so today we're going to talk about what it means to be truly blessed. And we have a chance to hear from a beloved friend, a beloved sister in Christ, a ministry partner at the end as a sweet application of this message. So we're going to get to it. We're talking about loving higher. Jesus is the highest, most amazing example of what it means to love. And so let's go with what he said in Matthew 6:33. Really quick, let's keep first things first here, okay? And if you are giving, and if that's part of your worship experience, there's a box in the back of the room. You can give online. You can send a good old-fashioned check in the mail. Who writes checks anymore? Not just here, but just in general. You write a check every now and then. Good. All of us, like 35 and older, right? Got it. I love this. My friend went to the Mariners game, and he sent me this text, and he goes, they don't even want cash. I'm like, oh, they want your money. They just don't want cash. Bring that plastic. They're ready. Listen to this. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You want stuff. You and I need stuff. He talks about clothing. He talks about food and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, your daddy knows you need it, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his right way, and everything will be added to you. All that you need. And so if we're going first things first, we need to recognize that the kingdom of God is first a kingdom of the heart. And then it comes out in what you do. First things first, righteousness, his right way. Now, this is really what it means for things to go well with you, for you to be financially solvent, financially booming. That's temporary. My kids and I were reading out of this book, and it's a cool devotional, and it says in there, this the story of where the man gets his bumper crop, and he's really stoked about it, and he's like, oh man, I can retire. This is so good. I'll just store up all this stuff, and I can sit back, eat, drink, be merry. And then God says, you fool. Tonight, your life is going to be taken. It's going to be required of you. Then who's going to spend all your stuff? And my daughter goes, Dad, God called him a fool. I'm like, there's more to the message. Why was he a fool? Because he just wanted to spend stuff? I'm like, yeah, kind of. It's the first things first mentality. Be rich towards God. Be rich towards the things that he says are important. And so we're going to look at that over the course of the next several weeks of what Jesus says blessed is, what Jesus says right is, what Jesus says good is. It's this description of the kingdom. So we're going to look at the Beatitudes, and I need you to know, I'm going to put this up here. The Beatitudes are descriptive before they're prescriptive. Okay, it literally is saying, this is what it looks like to live out the kingdom, not do this and then you get the kingdom. It's not a prescription. It's not a recipe. It's not a add Jesus and get this. It's when you are a Christ one, this is what it looks like. This is how life gets lived out. And it's really actually challenging. It's not only this beautiful blessing and wonderful fulfillment and it going well with you, but it's challenging. Anybody follow Jesus in this room and it's always been easy. Right. But rather than focus on that it's hard, we're going to focus on what he says is blessed, what he says is good. It'll be well with your soul as this gets lived out. So if we're describing, or if Jesus is describing what Christ ones look like and how his kingdom is lived out. Let's go to how he just laid it out in this thing called the Beatitudes. It's this blessed life, okay? And we're going to just Matthew 5. We're in Matthew 6, 33. Let's go just kick back to Matthew 5, 1 and 2 really quick. I love this. Jesus was real. I don't know if you know that. And he actually rose from the dead, so he's still real and he's still alive and your hope is living. But when he was on this planet in the flesh, he was around people. He did not just go and sit up on mountains and preach at people. He was with people. He was accused of having food with sinners. Who else could he have eaten with? That's all. Thanks, bro. That's all that was there, right? But he came to set these people free and not to get apart from them, but to lay down his life for them, to show them life. And so seeing the crowds, it says in Matthew 5, 1 and 2, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. I can't even get very far on this. First, he saw people and he saw the crowd. Now, there was a bunch of people that came. He had just fed 5,000 people. Everything was bumping. Everybody wanted to hear from him. Maybe they also wanted to see him do some cool tricks. But there was a crowd. And he goes up on a mountain. And I love this. It just really dawned on me. We just talked about how Moses went up on a mountain, heard from God, got God's word given to him, and brought it down to the people. And they were just this sin-sick mess doing all kinds of nasty things. And he had to bring the word to them and tell them what it was. Now, here's the word of God in the flesh speaking directly to them. And we've got it recorded. And so he calls two types of people to him. The committed, his disciples, and the curious, the crowd, right? There's just all these different people. So I ask you this morning, which one are you? Are you committed? Or are you curious? You're welcome either way. I'm glad you're here. Like the disciples actually draw near to him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll teach you. My yoke is, his teaching says, take my yoke upon you. For I'm lowly, gentle, humble in heart. I got something for you. But he invites them. You and I are invited. He sees the crowd. He goes up and sits, and his disciples came near. They were curious and they were committed. Which one are you? Maybe as we unpack this teaching, you might see it. You might understand a little bit more clearly where you're at. You hear this teaching, you go, that's just not for me, man. You can miss me with all that because it's challenging. Or you can miss me with all that because it's old-fashioned. Or you can miss me with all that because it's just not going to play out well in a time, in a place where you need to grab your rights and hang on to them. Or you might go, oh, wow, this is life. This is life abundantly. This is what I was made for. And so I love this. There's just another thing that I wouldn't have known about had I not read it four or five different times in my lifetime, and then four or five different times this week from four or five different preachers and teachers. When Jesus sat down, he was being this rabbi. He was teaching. He didn't just get up. They would stand to read the word of God, the Torah for Jesus, but they would sit down to teach. So listen, it says in verse 2 that he opened his mouth and taught them. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is what for his people? Anybody know? It's life. It's the bread of life, right? Man will not live on bread alone, Jesus said in just a chapter earlier, but on every word that steadily comes forth from the word of God, from the mouth of God. And here it is. First thing he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You guys, right off the bat, he's talking about this humility of life. This submission to God that you actually need. And poor in spirit doesn't mean you don't have two nickels to rub together, although it might include poverty of the flesh. It's this poverty of spirit where you're just humbled and you recognize, gosh, I don't have it all together. I actually need a Savior. I need somebody who can do this for me. I need somebody better than me. And that's really hard for us to submit, which happens to be the discipline that we're focusing on this month. Submission. Who loves self-denial? Who exercises self-denial just about every day in some way, shape, or form? Anybody have to wake up this morning? Myself at 5:30 was like, oh no. Maybe I'll just go back to sleep for a second. But I had clothes that I needed to put in the dryer because I wasn't going to take time to iron them. So, you guys, humility is loving higher. God unpacks this for us. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, says, you're blessed when you're poor in spirit because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're blessed when you mourn because you will be comforted. You're blessed when you're meek, got power under control. For they shall inherit the earth. And if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, good news, you're blessed because you're going to be filled. You're going to be satisfied. Righteousness, not your own, his. Self-righteousness is actually an oxymoron. If you need to write that down, you can. This is a dependence on God, under authority, submission, admitting that you need help, admitting that God is better, admitting that life doesn't come from you and your manufacturing. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to look to your right or your left and say, you ain't going to work, but you ain't by yourself. But you're not by yourself. That's what it means to be humble and to be poor in spirit and to mourn. I mean, to grieve sin, not put it on display. Where's Instagram? I need to show people just how yoked I am. Where's Facebook? I need to tell people how stupid they are. I'm going to tell people how bad they are and how good I am. Well, what if I tell people how bad they are and how good God is? You're getting closer. But how about you just tell people how good God is, and how desperately you need him, and that you know they do too. How about you invite them in a humbling, submissive kind of way to love higher by not just telling them to do that, but living it out? This is descriptive before it's prescriptive, right? We show the world what it means to follow God. And some people look and go, is that Bill Castillo? He's just a different kind of dude. Huh, I wonder why he's all humble and servant-hearted. And he's like, because I'm under new management. Let's continue on. Matthew 5:7-9. So we got this humbling humility. The bread of life is just pouring out the words of life, saying, this is what it looks like to be my kingdom people. And then he continues on with a little bit of, like, this is what you do. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You remember this one, right? Micah 6:8. He's showing you what's good, man, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Loving mercy is no problem when you want mercy or need it. But what about extending it? This is like kingdom people give out mercy because, well, they've been shown mercy and they're going to be shown mercy again. this is really good. They'll receive mercy, not earn it, receive it. God gives it to us. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, no man can see God and live. But this gives me this indicator that if I'm pure in heart and I'm not playing footsies with sin, I'm not dismissing sin, I'm not saying sin's okay, but I want what's right and I want what God says is good, I'm going to see God. You guys, has anybody bought a car recently? And I'm not trying to shame you. I don't care what you bought. It could be like a hoopty. Anybody know what that means? Leslie, I appreciate it. No, she's like, no, I was going to say it's a bucket, which that may not help. Anyway, it's just a terrible car. It's a lemon. Anybody buy a car recently? What'd you get? Okay, you purchased it, right? So here's the thing. We're looking for a car. And I've found that as I'm looking for that car, I see that car and its color all over the place. I'm like, I don't have the delusion that I'm going to get a car that nobody else has. I have a couple cars that nobody else wants, but that's a different story. But I do find myself seeing this everywhere, and I love this. And it's this blue car syndrome is what they call it. If you start looking for a blue car, you start seeing a blue car everywhere. If you're actually pure in heart by the grace of God, you're going to start to see him because you want what he wants. And so you start to see what he's got for you all over the place. You start to see God in the silliest of things sometimes. Some people are like, dude, that's a reach, man. I don't know if that. Yeah, no, it is. I see God all the time. And when I don't, it tends to be because my heart has not been in a good spot. And the beauty of who God is, he's merciful first, like he'll take you back. You can repent. So, if humility is loving higher, and submission is this beautiful thing, listen to this, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Is anybody willing, in just this little bit of time that we have, a little discussion, please online, write this out, type it out. Write it. Don't write on your screen. That would be bad. Type it. Okay. What's the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking? Does anybody have a thought on that? Say it again. Passive and passive? Okay. Passive and action. Good.
What do you?
So yeah, you have to be at peace, Leslie says, to be able to make peace.
Proactive, reactive.
Proactive, reactive. So reacting is peacekeeping. That's good, Ben. All of that, right? Peacemaking takes work. I mean, what did Jesus do to bring peace to all of us? He's the Prince of Peace. Did he do anything? He gave it all up, right? I mean, this young lady was honest, and I love it. She was just battling, struggling, maybe wrestling with faith. And she goes, Pastor Aaron, I'm not trying to be rude, but what's the big deal of Jesus dying if he told everybody he was going to rise from the dead again anyways? I said, that's a really good question. I said, do you have any little brothers or sisters? And she had at least a few. And she knew that. And I knew that. And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, have you ever had to share something with them that was yours? It was given to you and you had to share? She goes, yeah, my room. I'm like, yeah, that's a bummer, huh? I go, what's the difference between willingly sharing your room and have to? And she goes, well, probably my attitude. I'm like, you're smart. Jesus willingly gave himself up, though he didn't have to. You and I needed him to, but he's God. It's the ultimate peacemaker. He's literally got that as one of his name tags, Prince of Peace. Yahweh Shalom, God of Peace. And how did he make peace? By the most gruesome act and the most unfair act in the entirety, I believe, of society and of any culture. God, perfect God, became our sin and died. Well, if he's going to rise from the dead, it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's like a deal you couldn't have purchased. It's a deal that only he could pay for, and he willingly did so, so that we would be at peace with his dad. So loving higher is acting on what we've received. There comes a self-denial that we're about to read that I think in the Western world is hard to come by. I think moms, dads, people who are servant-hearted, they understand self-denial, they understand submission. But what we're about to read about is called persecution. And you're about to hear from a young lady who's been to Africa where people get persecuted in a significant way, like not, you must wear a mask in a building. You can only have 50% of the people that you want in your building. Churches, boys and girls, pastors getting kidnapped, mutilated, killed, incarcerated, put into slavery. I'm not trying to compare. I'm trying to give you perspective. Jesus says all these things, and some of them are difficult, and we're like, yeah, okay, but I'm a kingdom person. It's his kingdom. Let's go. Then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I must actually transition to my conclusion, which might be an all-time miraculous feat that I'm almost done. But if I could summarize all of this, I'm going to tell you that the reward of God's kingdom is the king. This is the king. Yeah, living like him, I would say that's a lesser reward, but it's still a good reward. You get to live like the king, and that's the actual fruit of the king. But if you might remember in Revelation, we find out that heaven is lit up. What's it lit up by? Is it a really big, huge sun that's bigger than normal? It's Jesus. They don't have a temple there. There's no church there. Everybody's in the presence of God. You don't need to go to be in the presence. You are. And that's like an actual call out to some of us who are like, I go to church, get my Jesus on, feel pretty good, and go try to go throughout the rest of the week. Good. Come here and be encouraged. But if this is the only time you're in the presence of God, you're missing out. Bad. I don't think that highly of me, Josh, John, Zach, or even Nate with his beautiful voice. I think that highly of God that he actually goes with you wherever you go. The reward of the kingdom is the king. This is what God says about his people. To those who have nothing in themselves, God says, I'll give you my kingdom. For those who mourn, he says, I'll give you the comfort of heaven. Look, you're meek, I'm going to give you the earth as your inheritance. If you hunger and thirst for my righteousness, I give you provision. I give you the mercy. I give you the vision of God. I give you the ability to see him and follow him. And the greatest of all rewards, he gives you the king and a place in his kingdom. But you've got to want him. He won't force it on you. I'll finish with something out of Luke 10, 25 through 28. You guys have heard it multiple times. A lot of times we hear it in the Matthew version of it in Matthew 22, and it's wonderful. This one just hit me fresh this morning, or this week, I should say, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. So behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law? How do you read it? How about you answer your own question, homie?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself," the man answered. And Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you'll live." You want eternal life? You want to know what that means? Humble yourself. Love higher, literally. First things first, him, and then others and yourself. And that's the flow. The power comes from there. Loving higher is a truly blessed life. A little while ago, we were fortunate to have a young man, very young man, a little boy, as a matter of fact, named Caleb, have a dream that he would build, that we could together build a hospital for kids in Africa. That was a big, audacious goal. And God said, "Yep, I'm all about that." Today you get to hear from a dear friend of mine and of our church. This is a president in your presence. This is amazing. President of Walk in the Light International. Her name's Katie Cornell. She's going to give you a report of what's going on in Burkina Faso, in particular with the beautiful hospital that we were able to make. Really, we are part of making it. We didn't make it ourselves. You're going to hear a bit, but this is one of the best applications I could think of living and loving higher, is to be able to hear how things are going with what you guys have done. Will you welcome up Katie Cornell? Yeah, you can take that off. Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you.
Hello. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. I am really excited. I want to thank you guys so much for everything you guys have done over the last few years. It truly is like living, like the Bible's alive and the Bible's real because Jesus is still alive as he resurrected. And I love how in the story of Joseph, Joseph had a dream and God did that. And God's still giving dreams today. And he gave it to a little boy in this church. And you guys, instead of throwing him in the dungeon and telling him it was impossible, you guys rallied behind him and made it come true. And I just think that's the word right there. That's Jesus alive today. And I just want to honor this house for honoring children and honoring the Lord and honoring the things that he speaks to even the little. That is just so beautiful. And so I'm just really honored to be in your presence today because you guys are amazing. And I got the amazing joy of going back to Burkina in late January, February this last year. And I got to drive up and see the amazing health center that you guys have built. It was amazing because I hadn't been since before the construction. We go to Burkina at least once a year, sometimes twice, but we have many different villages we work in, and so I don't get to go to everyone every time. And then with COVID, it got a little, you know, I skipped a little bit of time. So anyways, I like literally hadn't seen it. And so like, since it was like, you know, not really quite built, and we showed up at night, and you can't capture this in a photo, but I'm like, we're driving up on this compound that the best way I could describe is it literally lit up the whole village, all these lights. And I'm like, what is that? And our director Gerard's like, that's the health center. And I'm like, that right there, like that just is the light on the city, like that is our health center. I was so excited because it felt like, yeah, it's even clapping. It felt like the light in the darkness. Like it was so, so strong and profound. Just the lights of the building. We've never had, they really spent a lot of time working on the solar power for this facility, and we've never had it like that. And I've never seen it just like, Abby was there with me. It was so beautiful to see. And I just felt like that was a symbolic for what's really happening there, is the light just going out. And so I have some photos that they're going to show you of the facility. But it is a really beautiful facility that I'm so excited for it to open. It's three different buildings plus houses. And so you guys built a maternity ward that is for mothers in delivery and children up to about 2 years old. And then we call it like a general practitioner facility that is like an urgent care with a pharmacy. And then there's a third building that's a pharmacy. And so then there's bathrooms and toilets and four nurses' houses, all with water and electricity out in the middle of nowhere. It is amazing. And literally like running water sinks that you can wash your hands in is amazing, because that's one of the things, as you guys know, with hygiene is so important. And 95% of health centers in Burkina Faso don't have electricity or water. And this health center is literally spectacular. They're showing you photos of kids. That's our school is right next to the health center. We have a K through 8th grade right now. There'll be 9th grade in October. And these are the kids that are going to be going to the health center, as well as the villages and the villages surrounding. And so I just really wanted to share those photos with you and then tell you about where things are at and what's happening there already. But what's really amazing is before we even had Caleb's dream, we had a little smaller dream, but we had a nurse in our other village in Rialo that said, I really want to be a head nurse. Would you be willing to invest in me? Your name's Sandra. I would love to work with Walk in the Light for the rest of my life, but I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to move forward and I want to lead this vision of this organization. And so we invested in her to go to school for 2 more years to become a head nurse. And she just graduated in January. And so she's like, it was perfect because then the health center is ready to open. And we have somebody who already has been working with us for about 6 years who's ready to take on the leading of the health center, which is amazing because you really, you know, culture and DNA are so important of what we want to accomplish, because we really want to love people. I think we all know bad healthcare experiences and good healthcare experiences. You can go to a restaurant and have a good experience or bad experience, you're like, oh my God, I have to tip her. Like, she was so mean to me, you know, and you're like, Jesus loves you. But so in that way, like healthcare, if you can imagine in a society that's so used to death and so used to just loss and grief, you become so hard. And it's a coping mechanism is what it is. And so I have grace and mercy for them, but it's really terrible because when you have that type of mindset, you actually lose more people. It's like death follows you because there's no hope that you're going to actually be able to save people. And so we our first health center in Rialo, we were like, this is going to be a healthcare center that no matter what happens to you, you are going to be loved and cared for, and we're going to do everything we can for you. And we've seen that happen. And like literally not only like does healthcare save lives, but love saves lives. Because when someone walks in and you give them hope and peace, they have peace and hope that they're going to be okay. And it is miraculous. It's so powerful. Love is so powerful because the love of Jesus Christ just, it changes everything. It heals us. And so that's what we want to accomplish. And so Sandra is ready to start that ministry down in Vitao. And then we just sent a pharmacist to school as well. So now the pharmacist is in school. And that's a lot shorter program, so she should be ready any day. And then we're waiting for the government. We got the government approval. With COVID, things got way slowed down, as you guys can imagine. So things should have already have opened, but they just couldn't because we couldn't get paperwork signed. But we got the final signature, and now we're just waiting on them to do a little ceremony that they're waiting to be able to say that we can come to, and then they present you with the certificate, and then we can officially open the health center. So I just want to tell you that it's happening. Keep praying. pray that they would make this the celebration and be able to do that so we can open up and continue to love on people and see people healed. It's amazing. And so please continue to pray for that. But then I got to go, I mentioned in February and January, February, and it was amazing. So I want to share with you what's just been happening in this village because I know you guys are like, the whole point of bringing healthcare to people is to bring Jesus to people and to help. Like, the kingdom of God looks like feeding the poor. It looks like clothing people, and it looks like sharing the gospel with them, and it looks like praying for them. It looks like all these things because God says to bring his ways to this earth. And so bringing healthcare to this village is his ways. Bringing education is his ways. And so this is already coming. Salvation is coming to the village of Vitao. And I wanted to share with you because the work has been happening and is happening. And so we got to come and do, we did a 2-day crusade in the village of Vitao at the health center. So, because that's where all the lights are and everything is. And so we just set up this stage and these speakers, and my husband and Romeo and our other pastor, Jared, got to preach the gospel to thousands of people. And we had hundreds of people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. And it was so amazing because it was like, we've been waiting for this health center to open, and here God just shows up. Like, we had Abby, who's with me, and you can talk to her back at the table, but people were bringing their sick to the health center, and the health center's not open, but thank goodness Jesus is alive, because many people received their healing through prayer. And we had this one baby that was so limp and just looked lifeless. Like, I mean, you would have thought it was already dead. And I mean, it wasn't, but it just looked already dead. And Abby like laid hands on the baby and was just praying, Lord, like, she, because you don't even speak the language, so you can't even tell them what you're praying. So it doesn't matter how fancy your prayer is. Literally, I think Abby said her prayer was like, Lord, help. You know, like, she's just like, Lord, help. And literally the baby popped up and just came back to life and opened its eyes. And it was the most amazing thing. And I was like, think like Jesus, like, I can't do that, but Jesus can do that. And Jesus is so amazing. And so hundreds of people were saved. People were healed. We got to just love on the community. And it was so amazing. Another thing is talking about like peacemaking. We got to go to another one of the village chiefs from another village to bring reconciliation between the two villages and talk amongst them and be able to invite them to come to the health center. Like, this is, health center is not just for Vitao. It's for Bagum. It's for you guys. It's for everyone in this region. And let's work together to see this community, these communities changed. And so that was a really powerful moment. We had an amazing time. Abby almost got taken as someone's wife, but it was okay. It all worked out. The young blonde woman, you know, with us, it was so funny. This guy, there's always a few people like this in every community. It's true here and there, but they call them like their town drunks. Well, anyways, he really liked Abby. But anyways, we were like, come on, we're leaving. But nonetheless, peace was brought to these communities, and it was really amazing. And Abby's still here with us today, so it's really good. And then another amazing moment that happened on this trip was, there's too many stories, but I was going to share one, but I'm going to share another one. There was, we were actually broke down 2 times on the way out to Vitao. And you know you're doing something right when nothing will work, right? So you're like, okay, like, we're getting out here, and we're just like on the side of the road, which we turned into just preaching the gospel in the market, and we're just making the best of it. And but nonetheless, we're praying, and we're trying to figure out like how we're gonna get to Vitao, because it's way 4 hours outside the city, really bad roads, and now we're out like 2 hours from the city. No one can really help us. We have, the crusade is starting in like a few hours, and so we're kind of just like, okay, Jesus, like, you're going to have to make a way where there's no way. Like, there's nothing we can do. Like, there's no tow trucks to call, no roadside assistance, you know, and like, no one could really help us. And so we tried like towing. We were in 2 cars. So we tried to like tow it, and then the tow rope broke, you know. So you're like literally out of options. You're like, all right. Well, the cool is, I've never had anything like this happen in my life. But you know how in the scriptures, sometimes God will use non-believers, like non-Jewish people, and he'll speak to them like Balaam and other people. Well, we had a story like that, because the Bible's like real, you know, like, but like, so this guy pulls over on the side of the road, and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe. He was raised Muslim, but then he got presented the gospel at a young age, but he got beat up for even bringing a Bible home from his Muslim family. So then he's like, I will choose no religion. All religion is bad. So this guy's like now like 40-something years old, renounced all religion like 30 years before, but his whole life had fallen apart. He had just gotten a divorce, like all this stuff, but doesn't believe in anything. But he likes Christian music of all things. He just likes the sound of it. Well, anyways, so he's driving the opposite direction. He's driving back to the city, the Ouagadougou, and we're driving this other direction, and he hears the voice of the Lord. He didn't know who it was, but he heard a voice say, my sons and daughters need my help. I need you to stop and help them. So he pulls over on the side of the road and drives us 2 more hours all the way to the village of Vatau. I don't know his real name, so I couldn't pronounce it, but we called him Angel. We were like, you're our angel, like literally. And he starts telling us that God spoke to him. We're like, that's Jesus Christ. He came and he spoke to you, and we're his sons, and you can be too. And we invited him to stay for the crusade, and he got saved that night. It was amazing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so we just kept calling him Angel. And he ended up staying at your guys' the health center that you built. He slept in that health center for 4 days, like 3 or 4 nights with us, and lived with us and took care, like drove us around and went to all the schools. And he was just like, I'm a disciple now. I'm just going to start following you guys everywhere you go. And we were just like, this is the gospel, right? It was amazing. And so I had to tell you guys these stories because I know we've been waiting for the paperwork to happen, but lives are being changed every single day because of what you guys have done and the gospel is being presented. And so I want to thank you guys. Your pastors gave me permission to share with you guys about another opportunity that you guys have to continue to support the health center as it opens. So the way that like Walk in Light works and is funded is through child sponsorship. And we have kids in Vatau that need sponsors. And the way our child sponsorship works is it's for the child and for the community. It's a community sponsorship. So it actually is what pays for our teachers and our nurses and our health centers, and it pays for their clothes and their health care and things for them individually, their school supplies. So it's a dual thing. It's not just for the child. It's because we believe in community development and community transformation. So it helps the children and pays for the programs that they receive from. And so I wanted to give you guys just a brief opportunity that if you would like to continue to support the health center after it's open, we need to get 35 kids sponsored to be able to run ongoing costs of that facility. And so we just know that that's going to happen and God's going to provide and it's going to be amazing. So I do have kids' profiles with me out in the lobby. If you guys want to hear about that or talk to me about it, it's $35 a month and it will change that child, that family, and that community forever. And so just want to extend that opportunity for you guys, as well as it keeps you connected in relationship with what's going on there. And there's children online as well. If you go to our website, you can find children there. But thank you guys so much for everything you guys have done. And you can come talk to me or Abby out in the lobby.
Well, go ahead and just stay right here for a second. Thank you so much. If I didn't like already know Jesus, I would have just met him today. That is so good.
Amen.
You guys, this is real. I'll just finish with this. The kingdom isn't yours until Jesus is, right? It's his kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. And he's like, this is yours when you're in me. We just found out about that, right? What a wretch am I? I don't have any hope. But who's that just called me, right? It's him. He calls you. If he's calling you, come to him. If he says it's time for you to be more of what I just told you the kingdom looks like, then go ahead. You have every reason and every hope to live that out. He's a living hope. And so I want to pray with you. Katie, Abby, thank you guys so much for being here. It's such a pleasure to see you again. Please give all your guys and your beautiful daughter, Esther.
Yes, Esther is her name.
They adopted a little girl, Esther.
Yes.
From Burkina Faso.
Yes, it's amazing.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
Testimony.
So how about, would you actually pray for us?
Oh, I would love that. Thank you. Yes, okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Sultan and how Sultan is transforming this world by bringing about your kingdom.
Jesus, bless you.
And so, Lord, I just bless this house. You say when we come into a place that receives us, we bless them and leave peace. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would just bless this house even more with like what he said. The blessing of God is shalom. It's peace. It's everything. It's you. And so we just release that here,
yes, Lord.
And Lord, I just ask that you bless this church 100-fold in every way and every need for every seed that they have sown in Burkina Faso, that they would see that harvest here, Lord, that they would see lives, even more lives transformed in Sultan and Monroe, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. I thank you for more dreams and more vision that you're releasing in this house.
Yes, Lord.
I just bless this house in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for these children that need to be sponsored, and how it's more than a 2-for-1. It's probably a 10-for-1. And so may we invest further as you have provided and as you continue to. And if we need to cut some things out, may we be willing to do that to be able to be a blessing to people further in this world. We want your kingdom. We believe in you. We want to love higher. Help us to do so. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. There are questions on the app. Go online to check it out. They are up here as well. Jesus loves you. Baruch Hashem. The Lord bless you and keep you. Have a great day.